Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you. Lift you up. Thank you for the time that you have blessed us to be here, to fellowship, to give you glory, to sing praises to you.
Yes.
That you may speak to our hearts. That you will put laughter and happiness in our hearts, enjoying each other's company. May you bless us with your love, that we may love each other as you know us. May you bless Lori as she gives this class. May you send your Holy Spirit upon her, put the right words in her mouth to speak to us. We ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ.
Okay. Anyway, my name is Lori Hansen. Hi, Pat Wagner.
And
my name's Jen Fighting.
Do you like a water?
Oh, I have one, but I would like another one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Can I have sweet milk, cream? Stir to the right.
No, I'm
taking order.
God bless you. Mm-hmm.
I am. Thank you.
You're
welcome. Okay, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a testimony about myself. My name is Lori. I told you Lori Hansen. I'm married to Pastor Phil. He's one of the assisting pastors at Calvary Chapel, La Mirada. I've been married 38 years. And it's funny because he can remember that. I have to write it down. And that's kind of unusual. Usually the wife is the one that knows how long they've been married. But I have been personally saved about 28 years. So we were not saved the first 10 years in our marriage. So that was a huge adjustment for us, especially for our children, because they were very young, and they saw where football cards went out of the house, because my husband used to gamble, to Bibles, and just, you know, the MTV, you know, and all that stuff in those days, all that went out of the house, and it was like, what's going on, like, no more Halloween, and again, that's just our personal conviction, there's no more, you know, trick-or-treating and things like that. So it was very, not difficult, because they were at a young age, 3 and 10, but they did see a change in us when we were saved. I do have two grown children. I have Jackie, which is my daughter. She is married to Dan, and I have four beautiful little girls for her. And they range, they're like 3, 4, 9, and Kaylin is 13, and my daughter's only 32. So she really has her hands full. But you know what? They are totally a blessing. I have a son, which is Anthony. He's married to Leah. They live in South Dakota. And they have children too. They have horses and cows and chickens and cats and goats, and those are their children. So they just, and they have wolves. They raise real wolves, and so they have a family too. It's just a bit different. I just need a lint brush when we go visit their kids. Yeah. I mean, seriously, you need a lint brush when you visit their kids. So I just want to let you know that again, the title of my workshop is Miracle Grow 3-in-1. I know if you are familiar with the Miracle-Gro, if you use it, because I do use it in my garden, this is what the box looks like. And so it is Miracle-Gro 3-in-1, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So that's totally from the Word. The main scripture that I'm using today is Titus 2:4, so if you'd like to turn to Titus 2:4. I will be using the New International Version.
This is the anointed one that Moses.
Only kidding. Can you turn the tape off, please? No. This is just, I really like this one. What I'm teaching is just a little bit. It's in between. It just explains it a little bit better. Okay, so I did have four pieces of paper passed out. I don't know who has them. They're numbered 1 to 4. So I do have different translations on what I'm going to be teaching. So if number one could please read what you have. And what is the translation? Katie.
Titus 2:4, the New King James Version, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children.
Okay, who has number two?
New International Version. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children.
And who is number three?
I do.
You got it.
Whoa!
Titus 2:4, the message that God felt like. Your job is to speak out on the things that make for solid doctrine. Guide older men into lives of temperance, dignity, and wisdom, into healthy faith, love, and endurance. guide older women into lives of reverence, so they end up as neither gossips nor drunks nor models of goodness, but models of goodness. By looking at them, the younger women will know how to love their husbands and children, be virtuous and pure, keep a good house, be good wives. We don't want anyone looking down on God's message because of their behavior. Also, guide the young men to live disciplined lives. And in parentheses it says, by looking at them, the younger women will know how to love their husbands and children, be virtuous and pure, keep a good house, be good wives.
Yeah, that was the part, because I need to go back and, you know, let you... That is the message. I don't really recommend to use the Message Bible. I mean, we have it because it really does put it in layman terms of today. And the other thing, too, the thing with the men, that was for the men. As women, I want to correct that. We do not instruct men,
right.
Older men.
Right.
That's up to the men to do that. So, okay, and then the fourth one, honey. Go ahead.
Amplified Bible,
mm-hmm.
is A&P. So that they will wisely train the young women to be sane and sober of mind, temperate, disciplined, and to love their husbands and their children. Footnotes, Titus 2:4. Oh, we don't need that.
Okay. All right, so I did tell you that I'll be using the New International Version, so we can go back and read verse 3. That's what I'd like to read, is verse 3. So it's Titus 2:3, and it says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. It says that the older woman must be reverent in the way which we ourselves live, to be able to mentor and instruct others. So again, that, you know, we need to set that example. We need to be, because, you know, it's funny, my daughter, and I'm going to share about my children. I did ask permission so that they wouldn't disown me when I get home. But, you know, she says, Mom, they're so wise. She goes, even though you don't know it, there's always somebody watching you and somebody listening to you. Not just me personally, all of us.
All of us.
All of us. So, you know, and again, you don't want to have a facade that you're one way, you know, here, one way at home. But that was just, when she said that to me, it's like, you know, it's true. You know, I remember going to church, and I tell you guys too much, but it's okay, about 3 months ago, and I guess it was just on my face, and one of my girlfriends came up to me, she goes, what's wrong with you? And I go, nothing. She goes, oh, I can tell by your countenance, you're just not having a good day. And it was all because I didn't like what I was wearing. I mean, is that not sad? But it was just fun. I know, it seems really superficial, but again, when you're heavy or something like that, I don't know, it's just, to me, that's just something that's major for me. You know, I want to kind of look like I'm together or whatever. And something, you know, that small, that which is sad, that could change my whole countenance on how I felt and everything. But in the same sense, she saw me from afar. Never, you know, here she's probably thinking something major's happened by my continence, and it's because I just didn't like what I was wearing. I mean, that's, you know, it's sad, but then it's still an example about how you never know who's watching you or who's listening to what you're saying. Okay. It says that we need to teach what is good, and I do have the Greek word, but I can't pronounce it, so I probably shouldn't even tell you what it is. teaching what is good, to instruct what is noble, excellent, and lofty. And I didn't really like the word lofty. I thought that that was more of a, but I looked it up, and it's okay. We can be lofty. It just means raised up. You know, it doesn't, because sometimes when someone, yeah, it doesn't. When someone says, oh, she's so lofty, I always thought it was more of a negative, like, whatever type thing, but it's not. It just means that that's the way that we are, that we're lifted up high. Exactly. And you guys can, you know. This also includes what is holy and godly. Older women having the responsibility for teaching, mentoring, and instructing younger women in the church. And it doesn't really have to be just in the church, but of course that's, we're talking more of a church setting. Encouraging them to be righteous and to be godly wives and mothers. Okay, now this is a good point. Not as interfering busybodies, because we want to get in everybody's business, right? Don't we? Okay. But as humble advisors. So then again, that's the way we need to be. You know, something happened, a Bible study a couple weeks ago, somebody, you know, one of the ladies was doing something, I just looked and I said, oh. And I just, again, I'm not going to mention any names, but in my spirit, I just said, oh, do I really want to confront her? What she's doing is not right. I'm not even going to deal with it. And then, you know what, I didn't even get from looking at her to looking at the next person when the Holy Spirit says, no, you need to go back and you need to guide, you know, let her know what she's doing is wrong in a loving way and correct her. So, again, it's the way that we, you know, humbly. I need to go humbly. I mean, she wasn't very humbly. You know, she was, the way she received, at least I went humbly in. Now, the way she reacted back to me, it had nothing to do with me because of the fact that I did what the Lord wanted and I went to her in the way that we're supposed to. So her actions are actually her own actions toward me. And she's not here, but no, I'm going to tell you. Okay, so it says, not as interfering busybodies, but as humble advisors to give information. That is our job, to give the information. Again, as this person, I went to her out of love, I told her, and I gave her the information. And then it's the same thing what Pastor Brian said last night. It's funny how if all the teachings that you go through this weekend, how we don't know what we're going to be teaching. I mean, there's a theme, but how it all, you know, that's totally the Lord, how it all interlocks. Because like he said, you can only give out the information. And then what you do it personally is between you and God. So, and I knew that. I mean, without a shadow of it, I really did not want to go to that person. I just, the Lord said, you have to, you need to. And I said, okay, and I did. So, it's, okay, the word is, okay, counsel that is based on God's word. And that is another thing. We need to counsel on what's on God's word, not the way I feel that day or the way you feel or what your grandmother told you or what your great-great-grandma told you. It needs to be the true word of God because this is pure and this is what's going to help us to do it. The true word of God is more powerful than we can imagine. It is true, pure, and never changing. So again, if, you know, it's very hard, like my mother-in-law, she's Catholic, and I'm not bashing the Catholics, but it's very hard. She loves Jesus. I know she's saved. Jesus is a personal Lord and Savior. But when we talk to her about other things, it's hard for her to say, okay, we're not supposed to pray to the Virgin Mary or we're not supposed to do the rosary beads because her grandmother did it and their grandmother did it. So it's very hard for her to say, well, you know, I was wrong or they're wrong or something like that. So that's what I'm saying. The word is just never, it's never changing, and that's the way it needs to stay. It is so true what Ecclesiastic 1:9 states. And would somebody like to read that?
What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. It's so true, and that's why I'm going back to God's word is never changing. Again, like the generational, God's word is never changing. It's sin is sin. Nothing is new under the sun. So this is a part I want to go into my a little bit of my personal testimony about how I want to show that to you, how my mother, the way she counseled me compared to the way that I was able to counsel our children, okay, on certain items. The way she, what she taught me, and then what contrast to the word of God. Okay, this is my mom about sex. I could have sex before marriage. She actually encouraged me. Let me go back. I met my husband when I was 14 years old. The day I met him, my mom picked me up, and I said to her, I met the man I'm going to marry. She said, the man you're going to marry? She goes, you're 14 years old. What do you know? She goes, you will have many, many men. Okay? Well, lo and behold, I've been with Phil since 1971. So, you know, praise the Lord on that one. I love my mom, but she was wrong. So anyway. So that was what she taught me. She said, you know, as long as I was protected. You know, she just said, you know, now once I started dating Phil, you know, she goes, I know that you guys are probably serious, whatever, you know, as far as sex, you know, she was, I'll come back, because I don't want you to think I'm bashing my mom. But that's what she knew. She just said, you know what, as long as you're protected, you know what, I don't see a problem with that. Okay, this is what we taught our daughter. We taught her no sex, no way, no how. I remember she had to go for her first gynecological test. We have Kaiser. I took her to Kaiser. The nurse comes out and tells me, now she didn't say my daughter was sexually active yet, but she did say to me, I think you need to put your daughter on birth control pills. She's at that age. And I said, excuse me? And she goes, well, I kind of think your daughter wants to be put on the pill. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what my daughter wants. My husband pays for this insurance, and I drove her here to my car, and I used my gas. If my daughter wants to get on the pill, then I'm taking her back home, and that's on her. I am not paying for it. We are not, you know, because I'm sorry. I am not going to tell my daughter, to me, that was a license to have sex. Okay, lo and behold, my daughter got pregnant. She was homeschooled. She got out of homeschooling, and she got pregnant at 18 years old. But you know what? God had a plan and a purpose for that, too. But again, that was on my daughter. I mean, and she's repented since then. You know, I have a beautiful, that's Kaylin. She's just a godsend to us. I mean, we would never give her up. I mean, for anything. But again, that was on my daughter. That was not something that me and my husband said, go ahead and do what you need to do. And that's what God says, that we need to be abstinent from marriage until, sex until marriage. not to share yourself. So again, that's just a contrast in the sex area. Okay, the next one was drinking and smoking. Here's my mom. God bless her soul. Poor thing, died of COPD, 4-packer a day. That's what she would tell us. As long as you could, I mean, when I turned 16, she handed me literally a carton of Marlboros and a lighter. And said, if you're going to smoke, I'd rather you smoke in the house.
Oh, my goodness.
So what did we do? Me and Phil?
That's a mindset of a lot of people.
That's what we did. Yeah. We smoked. Drinking, same thing. You want to drink? Don't go into the liquor store and ask people to buy alcohol. Let me know what you want. You and Phil want to watch a movie, have a glass of wine? Now, I'm talking at the age of 16. I'm still just barely going into high school. You know, if you want to drink, as long as you're not driving or whatever, be my guest. And I know this sounds really shocking, but we have to think. This is from a woman that did not know the Lord.
Yeah.
My grandmother did not know the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, actually, my mother, my grandfather died young, and my mother was raised by prostitutes because what happened, they lived in an apartment building. You know, my grandma was a single mom in those days with my mom and my grandma, and there was just a lot of prostitutes in that building, and they were literally raised, like babysat by prostitutes and stuff. So what kind of mindset could she have except for that? You know, and in her heart, I know that she was looking out after me because she's still saying, as long as you're here, as long as you're protected, you're safe. Exactly. Okay, so what did we tell our kids? As far as drinking and smoking, there was no drinking and smoking in my house when my kids got older. I knew my daughter smoked. You know, poor Jackie, she's going to get wrecked through the coals. She's such a good girl now, though. And I knew she smoked because I could smell it. I could find things in her drawers. But she at least had enough respect to know that she was not to smoke in my house or on our property at all. And even alcohol was the same thing. My son, you know, God bless his heart, he never gave us any trouble. He was the smart one. He's the oldest. He would tell Jackie, why do you do this? Just go with the rules. You can have anything you want. What's wrong with you? You know, because he was the smart one. He would just, you know, he'd be maybe something different at home, away, but when he came home, he was the model child. Like, yeah, you know, whatever. So even to this day, but even when he left home and he had one girlfriend before he got married, he came back because he moved out of state to visit. He knew in our house that there was no alcohol, no smoking, and believe me, Charlie, they slept in separate rooms with the door open. And I was blunt, you know, his dad too. You know, I don't know what he did. He was a grown man. He was 18 years old, already living in Vegas. If you want to do what you want to do, then go to find a motel, you know, whatever. And but they knew that. And so, again, that was the difference. What they did outside of our house, it's on them. Because not that you don't love your children and you don't want the best for them, but there is, like, when they come a certain age, it's almost like, Jesus, because now the accountability is on them. You know, so there's a freedom, not in a bad way, but there is a freedom, because you never quit loving your kids. Are you kidding? Or want the best for them. Okay, marriage, this is what my mom, remember I told you? She told me, hey, I've been married 3 times, what the heck? You know, you just try it out, like, you know, a new pair of shoes. The advice that she gave me and my husband, because I graduated early at 17, I wanted out of my house at 18. On my 18th birthday, I moved. I graduated in June, by October, I was out. She said, oh, don't get married. You guys need to live together. You need to try it out. You don't want to make the mistakes that I made. Okay, now they're mistakes. Before, they weren't mistakes. But you know what? It's funny. We took her advice. And even then, I graduated at 17. At 18, knowing when we rented our first apartment, that I lied. And I wasn't saved yet. I lied to the landlord and told him that me and Phil were married. Okay, so we were living together in sin. Okay, funny part of it is, my mom's telling me to do it, and then his mom, which is Catholic still, whatever, she said, I can't go to your house, you're living in sin, you know. So there's like two different extremes. Me and Phil get in a big argument, and doesn't want, you know, we got in a fight. I think I threw his clothes over the banister in the pool or something, and I was crying and crying and crying, and my friend at that time, she was my next door neighbor, she said, why are you crying? I go, he's not coming back. She goes, you're married, he has to come back. Oh, no, we're not. But again, you know, it was only a few months after that we did get married. Phil just said, you know what, this is just not right. It's not right. And we did, and we've been married ever since. Okay. So then this is the things that we taught our children. That a vow and a commitment to the Lord and to your spouse. And then, you know what? Again, poor Jackie. You know, she got married a while back, and she is divorced now. But again, it was something, there was an adulterous affair in her marriage. It was not on her part. It was very devastating. But the Lord freed her from that. I mean, she's still, to this day, I mean, she's remarried. That's another workshop. Because the gentleman that she, the young man that she got pregnant with originally, was sent to prison. He was gone for 8 years. She met this other young Christian guy, married him, had Reagan, and then that's the one that had the adulterous affair. They end up divorced. Dan gets out of prison, totally changes his life around. They re-meet within a month. They're married, and they have two other daughters. And he's just a wonderful son-in-law. So out of the four, yeah, see how it just, yeah, it's a long story. But praise the Lord. See, he knew. If my daughter would have just held on, that patient. So again, and that was very devastating. And that, even with my son, my son's like that. That's my husband, too. His wife is like, so we're like best friends. And there's that commitment. There's that, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, if we do get like, I'll share that too, like, just so you know how we argue sometimes. It's like, the word says not to go to bed angry. But in the same sense, he's married to me. You're going to wake up and I'm still going to be there. So you might as well just get over it. It's not like, so again, you have that commitment. And then the other thing I'm going to touch base with is children. When we were living at home, we were often told, they couldn't wait till we were 10, 18. My mother was married on her third husband. Oh, we can't wait. Once you're 18, you're out of here. We can't wait. Oh, we can't wait. Oh, we're going to give you luggage for your graduation present. We're changing the locks. We can't wait to make, you're better than office. That's what we were told. We never heard, I loved you. I never heard a good job. I was a straight A student. Isn't this weird how you can remember this stuff? Somebody, straight A student, and that's when they used to be like AEE and ASEE. And I came home with all AEEs except one S. And that's all she pointed out. You got an S. This is the way we raised our children. We told them that they were a gift from God. Even when my daughter got pregnant, we did not slam that door in her face. We loved her even more. We brought her in. We told them, they're always told, to this day, how much we love them, the grandbabies, just a whole different way of raising our children, to the way I was. So then I said, there's my mom. Looking back at the counsel that my mother gave me, what did she know about Christ? What did she know without Christ? She didn't really know anything. All she knew, she was a secular person. Oh, does that sound terrible? A secular person? But that's true. That's what my mom was. She was a secular person giving secular advice. Her mother to her, herself to her, to me. But now, through Christ, it's a broken cycle. So praise the Lord. And it says, I just want to let you know, here's my little star. Yes, she had accepted Christ in her later years, and is now in the presence of God. So thank God. Still had her Christmas shirt on, her little cigarette. Said, praise the Lord! But you know what? She's with Jesus, so that's all that matters. Okay, right here, this is just a little quote. Popular culture makes it easy to lose your bearings and no longer trust that internal voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, that affirms the good, true, and noble characteristics of a godly woman or a godly man. I want to put the little man up, but again, we have nothing to do with men. But let me reread that. Popular culture makes it easy to lose your bearings and no longer trust the internal voice of the Holy Spirit that affirms the good, true, and noble characteristics of a godly woman. With two grown children that were raised in the Lord, but both my children, they were raised in the Lord, they're not, and I don't want to say they're not walk, they have a shaky walk. And I know you don't have to attend church to be saved, but God is not their first priority. Of course, when I talk to them in a speech and everything, it's like, oh, Mom, I know this is happening for a reason, or can you pray for me?
Right.
Or, oh, God, I know it's God watching. And so they have that, but they don't have that personal blessings. When my daughter does call and just say, oh, this is happening, and it's like they know by being raised with it what they could have in a package, but they're just not being blessed with the whole thing. They're just kind of picking and choosing the parts of Christ that they want right now. And, I pray for them every day that they're saved. I still give them godly counsel. Even though I know that their walk is shaky, I still give them counsel that comes from the Lord. I still pray with them. I give them scriptures that prove the pure word. And, they don't, and sometimes my son, he's like, I don't want to hear that, Mom. I know, Mom. I don't want to hear that, Mom. And it's like, no, you need to hear it. Because, I'm still his mother. I don't care if he's 35 years old. I don't care where his walk is. That is my responsibility as being a woman of God to give them the godly counsel. And he's probably doing it. But the older he's getting and the things that he's been going through the last couple years that some of you know, he is getting closer to God. And you don't want to say whatever it takes, Lord, because whatever it takes, I don't think I can take it. But God knows you won't even let it come down. And that's the growing that I've had this year. Because, you know, yeah, I want that. I, God, do whatever. But then when he was ready to take my son out, I'll never forget when I got that phone call. And I was like, I mean, seriously, hyperventilating and wailing. Because, I mean, and all, when my daughter-in-law was telling me this, she, like, dropped the phone. Because it was something, and all I heard was, I didn't hear the whole conversation, so in a split second, I thought he was gone. And I was just like, and then I got a chance, what's wrong? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
No, he's okay. He's just, you know, whatever. So again, just that split second, I knew how it felt to say, okay, Lord, it's what you want. And what does the word say? That if to save the soul, it's better to take the body, but to save the soul than to take the body. So, is that right? Am I back? Yeah, to take the body to save the soul. Thank you. So, again. Okay, so let me go back here. I still pray with them. I love them, not as worldly heathens, that's another one, but as Christ loves them, trying to woo them back with his mercy, his grace, and his unfailing love. Because, you know, there's sometimes, whenever we pray for this meek spirit, it's like, I don't have a meek spirit. It's just like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? You know, and that's how I am. Again, I need to be more like Christ, more merciful, more. I mean, I do after I get my bearings back together, you know, it's okay. But especially when it is our children or it's our spouses, our family, we're more apt to be. But especially if you have that, what's that word you said? When you can, sharp tongue and you can just say one word and you know where they're going to go. And that's where we can't do that. We need to be Christ. So if we could go back to Titus 2:4, I don't even think we moved from there. Oh, and we did, from Ecclesiastes. So go back to Titus 2:4. Okay, and I'm going to read verse 4. Okay, when they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to subject to their husband, no matter what the word of God. So what it says here is, again, I was trying to share that we need to try to wean them back with God's mercy, God's grace, and his unfailing love. Okay, we need to teach we need to teach our children how to love their husbands and children. We need to teach and model godliness in order to encourage the younger. And that's the key word. We need to model. You know, again, you know, you call yourself a pastor, or you call yourself, I've said that. I've actually, maybe not to his face, but in my heart, you know.
Sure.
You know what? I have said this to him. We do marriage counseling, right? I said, I think we need to be counseling. I don't think you should be the counselor. I mean, again, I'm wrong. I have to repent. You know, you guys are saying, oh, God, but I'm sorry. I'm going to be real honest. You know, sometimes I feel that way because, you know, of course he can't be the perfect husband, you know. And that's when the enemy gets in, because always something so minor always happens right before we go to the marriage counseling. And that's when, you know, I said it to him before. I said, you're the one who needs the counseling. I'm going to counsel you. But anyway. So, I mean, is that sad that I could even say that? But that's the truth, you guys. That's how I am sometimes. Sorry, Becky. Anyway, Okay, we need to teach and model godliness in order to encourage the younger. And that's the key word, model. And then again, I have another Greek word. You guys know I don't speak English very well. So it's to encourage. Literally means to cause someone to be of sound mind and have self-control. Helping others have good judgment and godly choices. We need to be reverent. And then again, there's that reverent. Oh, reverent, more reverent. No, it doesn't mean that. It just means being Christ-like, godly examples of holiness. That's someone that's reverent. This is a godly example of holiness. We need to be reverent in the way we live. We need to lead by example. Our behavior needs to be a standard for these younger girls. And then if someone would like to read Titus 2:7-9, please. Right there in the same. You guys can just call it out and read it, whoever gets it first.
In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, a sound speech that cannot be condemned. The one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say to of you. Through 11?
That's it. Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's good. So is that something? I'm sorry, but I know that they could say something bad. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you. I'm an eye roller. And I don't even know when I roll my eyes. And I've been called on. I'm sorry. And you know what? Someone says something to me not too long and I just like, you know, and then somebody said, oh, what is it? And then like just a few hours later, somebody asked, what is a godly example? And she said, someone that does it roll their eyes. And it's just kind of like, I was really convicted because I didn't even know if it was me at that time, but I'm pretty sure it was. I'm really, and I was, and I was like, though, you know, and again, maybe it wasn't me. Maybe that person has a problem with that herself, but I was convicted. And I'm like, oh, Lord, how is that sad? And I felt that because I know all of us have something to say about you, but wouldn't that be awesome if really they could, but in Christ they can. I mean, we're in heaven. But to say, I don't know anything about you. I think that's true. But I really don't know. I will. And it's not because of a bad thing sometimes. Sometimes it's like, oh, no. I don't even know if I'm doing it. Now you guys let me know because I do it. So we're back. Okay, so we need to be a standard for these younger girls. Our dress, our speech, our outward expression. So there again, when I was writing this, that whole outward expression. Our actions toward our husbands. We need to honor the Lord. Okay, so now we're going to be going back to not bringing dishonor to his name, not leading others to be discouraged in our Lord, but rather to love their husbands and their children as the Lord instructs. Again. The Lord is the one who gets the block off. I mean, especially, you know, if there's people that are watching you that are not Christians, you know, if they do know anything about you, they're like, oh, again, the same thing I'm saying. You know, they're just ready to pounce on you. So, again, I'm not asking you guys to be somebody that you're not, because that's wrong too. But you understand that we need to do the best that we can in the Lord. Okay, a younger woman should be taught to love her husband. And not just sexually. I mean, a lot of times that's what the world is teaching now. Everything is sexually, and all. That's how we show our love and stuff. So I would like to have somebody read 1 Corinthians 7, 4 through 5, because there is a part about our husbands that we do, that the Lord instructs us sexually, how to do with our husbands. So again, if whoever has it, just go ahead and read it out. It's 1 Corinthians 7, verses 4 through 5. And again, you know, what the Lord puts in this for us, as far as even the sexual part of our marriage, you know, with our husband, is to protect us. Because you know what, women, we were made to have sex with our husband. And there's a desire there from our husband. And believe me, Charlie, there's women out there that want your husbands. I mean, and I'm not trying to say that you have to keep them, you know, on your chain. But especially if there's a good, godly husband. There's women that are not even godly women, that they see the qualities in your husband, and they want those qualities. And that's what's one of the things that really happens to a lot of pastors, is because when they're teaching the Word of God and they're at the pulpit, the women are falling in love with the image of the pastor, and then they don't know how to separate, you know, the person from the Lord, because this is their physical that they're falling in love with. So it's very, you know, again, and it goes vice versa. I'm not just saying men have a sex drive, women have a sex drive too. So you need to be really careful, because if each one of you are not satisfying, you know, each other, then, you know, there is that guy that's flirting with you a little bit at the gas station when you get your cup of coffee, or there is that coworker, you know, and it's happened to me too. Well, you know, when if I have someone that's not, like, before, now I notice my hair, but my husband has changed so much since he's been sick. As I said, the first 10 years in our marriage, he didn't know the Lord. I mean, he's even opening the car door now, and I'm just like, whoa, you know? So he's come a long way, but there was times where people would notice something, and I would come home and say, you know, my mind again. You know, at least he noticed it, and you didn't, and things like that. So you start justifying things. So that's why it's really important not to let Satan get that hold on us, where we can get the negative attention. Even though it's positive attention, it's actually a negative attention. Okay, this includes ways showing the respect that the women need to have for their husbands. And some of these were really, I left some of them out, but not that I'm going to leave out God's word, because this actually came from the commentary. By acknowledging his leadership in the home. Okay, and again,
If you have a godly husband that's walking right with the Lord, he is not going to be the Lord over you. He's going to be the Lord of the home, but he's not going to lord over you. I always tell people it's very easy to be submissive to my husband, only because he's a good guy. If I had somebody that was really off or something, I don't know how submissive I could be. And that is something that the Lord has really, I don't know, even women, you know, I just, you know, without the word, I don't know. I know God would equip me, but we're all in different places with our husbands and stuff. So it is very easy for me to be submissive to Phil. He doesn't care what he eats. He doesn't care. He's just really easy. And so, again, if I had that other thing, I know the Lord could equip me, but at this point in time, I never had that. So, again, we need to acknowledge his leadership in the home by making no major decisions apart from him. Again, that's what the Word of God says. Me and my husband, he does have the final word in our house. We do discuss things. He takes in what I have to say. He'll chew it up. Sometimes he spits it right out. And then there's other times, you know, that he'll wait a couple days, or he'll just, not like, rah, rah, but you know, Phil, if you know him, he's just very boisterous. And he says, well, this is what I think. And then the Holy Spirit will work on him. And then he'll come back around and say, but again, he has the final decision. And I know that. I know that. And again, as women, we can influence our husbands. The cheated chonies. That's how you gotta pull out. Little chonies or whatever. I'm just saying. I'm sorry, but is that not true? As women that are married or were married,
yes.
Can we not entice our husband, no matter what size or
sure.
What we look like or anything? Is that not true? Because they're just men.
That's right.
So yeah. So we know that. But see, God knows that. Does not God know? He knows our heart.
Very manipulative.
It is. Okay. I'm not calling you guys on the carpet. I'm just saying. I mean, do we not know that? Do we not know that? Okay. All right. Positively. All right. So keeping the lines of communication open by not criticizing or constantly putting him down. Okay, this was the one that the Lord put me in big old parentheses. In private or in front of people. So you can't be like, and then you end up. I can't believe what you did. You know what I'm saying? Again, we should be criticizing our husbands, you know, or putting him down. Yeah, they're not. I mean, think about it. What if my husband did that to me and criticized me in front of everybody? I would be devastated, you know? So that's one of the things that we need to teach, you know, to do ourselves and teach our daughters, too. You know, that these are the things that God wants. That, you know, there is a structure. There's God, and then there's the husband, and then there's the wife, and then there's the children. So there really is a structure. So let me just read this all together. It says, this includes ways showing the respect she has for him. It's not just sexually, but by acknowledging his leadership in the home, by making no major decisions apart from him, keeping the lines of communication open, by not criticizing or constantly putting him down in private or in front of others, and to be supportive when things go wrong. Oh, here's another one. Living within your means. That is one that was my little side note. Because you know what, ladies? Do I really need 45 close purses? Do I seriously? You know what? Usually when the Lord gives you something to teach, he teaches you. My husband comes home so tired. He's a worker. He comes home so tired. And sometimes, you know, I just see him. I'm thinking, did I really need those bags? Did I really need this? Do I really need stuff? Stuff. It's just stuff. So again, I know a lot of you have been a lot wiser, and you get to stay home. You're not out there working. You're not having other people raise your children because of the fact that you live within your means. I live within my means now. I mean, even though I have that money, it's because of the fact we have an empty nest. I don't have children or anything like that. But when we had children, I mean, still, my husband worked full-time. I worked full-time. We worked different shifts because we didn't want our kids to be raised by anybody else. But in the same sense, we never saw each other. We had no marriage. That was the first 10 years of our marriage before Christ. And again, we need to love our husbands and try to live in some, you know, within our means. So, okay. Anyway, and to be supportive when things go wrong. Okay, younger women also need to be taught to love their children. And again, by loving their children, it's by reading and praying with them, to spend quality time with them, by disciplining them firmly and fair as the Lord does to us. Ladies, we need to discipline our kids. I'm a waitress.
Amen.
And I see people with kids in the restaurant, and I mean, they're like running around the restaurant, and the waitresses are trying to, you know, go by, and it's like, sit your kids down. You know, if you can't have them, don't bring them up. You know what? There's nothing wrong with this. Even my little grandbabies, My daughter, God bless her again, she has four children. It's very hard to keep all four. But you know what? When those girls are with us, they know. They know the difference of being with grandma and grandpa and with mom and dad. I mean, and my daughter's very strict with them. I'm going to share a little about that. But they know that they're not messing around. When we say no soda until after you eat, there's a little soda. There's no soda. You know, they don't give in. They just don't get that inch. And you know what? It's not a bad thing. But we can take them to a restaurant. We can take them to a friend's house. They can come to my house. No, and there's rules at grandma's. I mean, and you know what? They love me just the same. But we have to discipline our children. Because if not, you wait until they grow up. Or you wait until, I mean, most of them probably already grown, but they're teenagers. Or then it's like, oh, my goodness. Well, sometimes you are really good with them. They still go that way. So it really has nothing to do with that. But that's our responsibility. The word says we need to discipline our children. We need to build them up, modeling them for God's service rather than the world's. So that's, as mothers, that's the things that we need to do with our children is to grow them up to be. And it's funny because my son called me and he goes, what you doing, Mom? And I said, I'm getting, you know, teaching ready, whatever. And he goes, what are you teaching on? And I told him, he goes, oh, so are you going to tell them about the time that you slapped me? And I said, what? He goes, yeah, do you remember the time that you and Dad got in that huge fight because someone said he looked younger than you and you threw the tostada in his face? And I was like, and I literally had my work there because I was in the office. And I said, because seriously, I know you guys are not going to believe this. Me and Phil have only had two major fights in our life. One was the tostada. Because my son was down the street with his friends, and I cleaned all day, and I had this beautiful dinner, and I said, can you go get Anthony for dinner? And he went down and heard my husband comes back, because Phil does look very young compared to me, but, and the mother said, oh, are you Anthony's younger brother? Mm. And so he had to come back and tell me that. Oh, she thought it was his brother. And I thought, oh, okay. You want your dinner? You your dinner! I literally threw a tostada at him. But you know what's so sad about that? He's 35 years old, and that happened when he was like 11. He remembered the time that I cooked him breakfast. He was only like 7. Sitting, I can picture this because I really haven't spanked my kids. I mean, I disciplined him, but I was never a physical. And he didn't have a shirt on. I used to cook breakfast for my kids every morning on Saturday, and he was eating bacon and eggs. There were scrambled eggs. I was washing dishes. Like, it was a little apartment at that time. And he goes, oh, I didn't really want my eggs like this. And my hands were wet. I said, ah. You know? And I hit him, and because my hands were wet, I left the mark. This is child abuse. You know, he's going to call the authorities on me and everything. But you know what? It was just like, you ungrateful. You know, that's just how ungrateful you are. You know, like that. And he remembered that. That's what he was saying to me. Oh, the time that you slapped me? I mean, so again, that was just something I really believe that we need to remember. The things that we say, the things that we do, they take that with them. I mean, I'm standing here telling you things that my mother told me when I was 16 years old. I'm only 28. So again, be careful. I put that, being careful. So I think we're almost closing. So it says, ladies, the word never goes void. I will see it today even in my personal life. Jackie, which is, you know, my daughter, with her girls, it's really funny because everything she rebelled about when she was living with us, when we did get serious about her walk, I mean, the MTV went out. I mean, you guys are like, MTV, but that's when it first started. They were not allowed to watch The Simpsons,
nope.
No talk shows, and Married with Children.
Nope.
None of which was right. The worst. That was so degrading. And I remember, what do you mean? Everybody asks, what do you mean? You know what? To this day, even though they're not walking in, you know, they're walking, but they're strong. Oh, they're girls. There is no way. She is stricter, her and her husband, than I am. I mean, little Kaylin, she's 16. She can't even wear lip gloss. He caught her putting on body spray. He's like, oh. Do you know why women wear body spray?
Why?
Because it attracts men. And you're 16, and you will not. I mean, so not to the point where, but she's a really. But you know what I'm saying? So every, I kind of laughed. She told me something a couple days ago. Oh, like mother, like daughter. But again, because she was my troubled child, it's funny how you do instill these things, and you think they just don't get it, but they do.
Yeah.
They get older, and they do because they know it's right. They know it's from the Lord, and they know it's the best for them. So it's true. So I even see it today on my personal walk. And things that Jackie rebelled at during her teenage years at home, she is teaching and instructing to her girls. So see, again, that I don't want to say it's a generational curse, but it is. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
It is.
It was broke. The Lord broke us, you know, of that and now that. So my title was, or is, Miracle Grow. It's 3-in-1. Yes, definitely, we do need the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to direct us, to guide us, and to help us be the godly examples that we need to be. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And again, we can't. I thank the Lord that we even have the, the privilege. Because we're ambassadors. We're raising up, like Lisa said, see again, we didn't even know that. The next generation. I mean, I don't know, my daughter and my son, they're walking get instantly. I mean, tomorrow he could walk into a church and become the next pastor. I don't know what God has in store for them. But as, you know, wives and mothers, we need to instruct our children because of as mothers, because that seed is planted. Just like the seed was planted in us. I remember in high school, I'd be on a school bus and they'd say, oh, hi, we're going to church camp or something. Would you like to go? I'd say, seriously, you know what I told them? Oh, no. I'm going to be sleeping with my boyfriend this weekend. I'm serious. I'd be like, and then looking back how the Lord was even wooing me in those young years, you know, trying to plant those seeds and things like that. So that's why, again, we need to be really careful. And so I wanted to say that truly it is a miracle. It is a miracle in itself that we can walk worthy of the calling that we have. And that is the calling. As mothers and as wives, God has given us a responsibility. And we need to walk worthy in them, and we just need to rely on him, because again, we can do nothing apart from him. So ladies, I just want to thank you. I'm going to close in prayer. I do have some resources. Does anybody know how the time? Are we short? And what time are we supposed to be up?
No, it's 11:45.
Oh, so we still have time. Okay, so these are some of the references that what I use, because of the fact that it's funny, because this year the Lord had brought two girls from our church and had asked me personally if I could mentor them. And it's like, oh man, I didn't think I did a very good job of mine. You really want to, you know, the first batch didn't go too good.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you really impressed yourself with me?
But, and it wasn't with me, it was with the Lord. So these are just some resources that I'm just going to like read a little bit of the back. This is really good, just to have. This is a quick reference for counseling women, for women. And it has all these things, and you see, it's just like this. It's really good. And these look, it even has homosexual lesbians. So if another woman came up to you or something and needed counseling, these are the things it has. It has adoption, birth control, career, contentment, dating, depression, about empty nests. Some of us, you know, have friendship, prodigal child, self-worth, singleness, an unsafe spouse, or worry and anxiety. So this is really good. It's quick reference. You just look it up. It has all the references that the Bible has, and it's right there.
Who's the author?
This is, you know, we have, we're going to have these little order sheets and stuff. This is Patricia Miller.
Thank you.
Okay, if you're interested in these, you can get these through our bookstore, or I'm not sure, you guys are connected already, right, with Calvary?
We are connected.
You are, so you can just go, you can take the little forms, and then you can just go and get it right through Calvary Distributor, okay? And then again, this one is praying for your future husband. So this is a good thing to give your girls that are getting, you know, that are young. I didn't pray for a future husband for my daughter. I really didn't, guys. And it says, have you ever thought about praying for your future husband? Will it make a difference? There's only one way to find out. So this is good. This is for ones that have teenagers, too. Okay, this one is a lot of wives after God's own heart. Elizabeth George, I'm sure maybe some of you might even have done this as a Bible study. It says, being a wife after God's own heart sounds difficult, even challenging. Okay, but it doesn't have to be. Bestseller. It's about being a better wife, improving or rekindling sexual intimacy. See, it's a chonies, a little cheated chonies. I'll tell you what's happening. My case, a bigger team of Tony's, but anyway. Communicating more efficiently, becoming a better prayer team player, and having more fun in your marriage. And that was like last night. The little girls that are next to us, they're younger, they were laughing and giggling and laughing. And I was just laying there, and it actually put me to sleep because they were having so much fun. Just the fun that they were having and the joy. You know, we can have fun being Christians. We don't have to be all sober. You know, like, okay, this one is 10 ways to prepare your daughter for life. This says, all moms want their daughters to grow up healthy, strong, and spiritually mature, drawing on their own experiences, the lives of women in the Bible, and insights from moms and mothers. So it just says, call on Jesus for wisdom and strength, use choices to transform circumstances, and cultivate inner and outer beauty. So this is a really good book. You know, and what I do with my my granddaughters too now, it's like they like the little Bernstein Bears. They like that little thing. So you know what? Even if they're teenage kids, snuggle up with them. My mom never did that for me. Just snuggle up and read something like this. Prophecy. You know, read them two chapters or do it something together. Okay. The power of a woman's words. Now this one was for me. This one's a good one. Because you know the word says that our tongue is sharp, Ron. So it says words, one of the most forces in the universe, can be used for good or evil. Your words can change the course of a day. Is that not true?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The whole day. You can just get up and think,
amen.
Okay, the course of a life. Your words can change the course of a life. Okay, popular speaker Sharon says to help you with the words in positive, powerful ways that come from Jesus Christ. So again, this is a really this one does come with a workbook too, if you're interested. This is stuff that you guys can, you know, do on your own. I'm gonna say the best one. And then a mom after God's own heart. So this is Elizabeth George. Same thing about a husband. She writes, she has a whole thing. It says, you want to raise children who are happy and successful and who follow after God. But how do you do this in the day of hectic schedules, packed with friends, schoolwork, sports, video games, cell phones, and the internet? So again, these are just good little tools that you can use, you know, on your lunch break or anything. And then this one, Girls Gone Wise and a World Gone Wild. Because you know how they have this video of Girls Gone Wild or something? So I thought this was kind of cute how they did that. And it says, and we're not just talking about someone from a romance novel or a star of the latest hit movie. This is the girl next door, your best friend. And it was really funny because I read a clip from this. A little bit in here. It was about a woman in the church that her husband actually was a pastor. And she knew that he was flying to do, like let's say from here to Seattle to do a teaching. The minute that plane got up in the air, she already seducedly dressed herself, blah, blah, blah. You know, not seduced, but you know, a little Lord taught, went to church and seduced one of the assistant pastors to coming back to her place. Okay. Isn't that crazy? So that's what I'm just saying about how, as women and things like that, it's in us, and it doesn't matter who you are or whatever. But you know, you have to, and it just goes because I read her chapter just about how she had that emptiness, and that's how she tried to fill her emptiness was through, you know, sex and things like that. Where all she, you know, and since then she was able to give a testimony where she was able to fill it with God's love and His word, and how things like that, you know, they do happen. It seems so weird, but I mean, it really does happen. So these are the resources that we have, and we do have orders if you'd like to order them, or just write down the name so you can get them at your local bookstore. So I think that's it. I would like to close in prayer, and then if anybody needs prayer, I know we broke a little bit early. Again, we have a little gift for you that Candy will be handy out. So again, ladies, thank you. And you know, the Lord is good. I love my daughter. I love my mother. You know, there is, you know, God bless her. You know, she could only do the best that she knew. But you know what, ladies? We know so much more. And it is our responsibility. Exactly. So we're going to go ahead. Linda, would you like to close this in prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for what Lori shared with us today, Lord, and I just thank you for your word, Lord, that you gave us your word for guidance, Lord, that we're not just fumbling in the dark, Lord, but we have your wisdom to follow and to draw us near to your heart, Lord, as a way to raise our children and be godly women in our families and in our church, Lord. And I just pray that you would continue to draw us near to
I take after my pastor. This is the second closing. Isn't it a miracle when something, you know, a lot of people say, I don't see miracles. When you see somebody's heart change, when you see someone give their heart to, that's a miracle.
Absolutely.
You know, so, and again, that's why it was miracle for 3-in-1. We have to have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to say Holy Ghost, because And it is a miracle when our kids do grow up and they do give their lives to the Lord and they're set on that path that the Lord, you know, we were talking about that in our room just this morning about how you can make two, you know, especially if you're like 18 years old, and you can make two There's two decisions that are not godly, how that can change your whole path of your life. So, you know, it is a miracle. When our hearts are changed, you will see a miracle.
Amen.
Thank you.